Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Steiny and Guru with you on a Thursday trade deadline day today in Major League Baseball.
Buying or selling?
3 hours and 10 minutes till the deadline, 3 o'clock West Coast time. So Buster Posey's made one move yesterday, Tyler Rogers, and the question now becomes, will he make more in the next 3 hours? All right, I also have another little bit of a theory. Not a theory here, but this is the way.
Is this baseball has spoken?
No. But yes. So when you're a baseball team and you go into the All-Star break, you come out of the All-Star break knowing that the trading deadline is 10, 12 days away. So any baseball player on a team that's fringy knows that the next 9, 10, 11 games are big. They're big games. You know, you're going to influence your front office one way or the other. And so I believe that what happened after the break, like, they're trying. They want to make Buster Posey be a buyer, but they run into the Toronto Blue Jays. Well, the Blue Jays are good. They have something to play for, and they get swept. They go to Atlanta. Okay, we'll get right. They couldn't get right. Then they get swept by the Mets, and then they get swept by the Pirates. Like, to me, I'm not saying it's not disappointing. It's tremendously disappointing. But for goodness sakes, everybody knew what was at stake. And they've won two games since the All-Star break. And I just think, like, that's, I'm not saying they're a 2-9 extrapolated team, but I'm saying, like, to me, the games after the All-Star break have kind of shown more accurately what kind of team they are, because teams are more motivated after the All-Star break, and they couldn't get it done against some good teams, and then the bad teams took advantage of them.
Yeah, and not just, well, you only get taken advantage of if you let somebody do it. And my part of, I don't disagree with anything you said, except the bottom line is you are what you put on film. And what's been alarming, not just by the record and the losses, is how they've looked in the process. And that's why I'm fixated on the errors, the mental errors. And to me, that's what it's about. The other year, Steiny, even last year, for example, you know, a couple games under, you still felt like the Giants' mantra was pitching good defense or trying to get as close to that mark as possible. But it never, ever got to the Benny Hill type of cartoonish stuff that we're seeing in the field on the base passes. And just this, Steiny, something you take for granted, communication between a left fielder and center fielder. We have seen all season long, I could count at least five times, balls just drop. Okay, maybe you win that game. But if you're looking at the bigger picture, you're like, hey, you know what? This team's not what I had given them a stamp of approval on. This team ain't even button up.
Well, it's when you go 2-12 over 14 games, it's going to look terrible. Like, you can't go 2-12 and we come in and say, God, they just can't get any breaks. We're going to come in and say they're 2-12, they stink. And they have. But I'm at the point now where, like, you commit enough mental errors.
Yeah.
You commit enough base running errors, it becomes who you are. And if you want to blame that on Melvin, then fire Bob Melvin. Go ahead and do it and see if that's the reason. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. But I look at this team and
you don't see a lot of talent.
I don't see a powerhouse. Yeah. I don't see anything close to
that
a powerhouse.
You don't have to be that to do what they had. Okay. And that's the third wild card. We can look at the team. Well, now, obviously, teams making moves. But, Steiny, I guess what I'm saying to you is we're not asking you to be the Dodgers. I mean, if you could beat them.
You thought you were going to beat them. Like, think about that.
Yeah, no doubt. And okay, it wasn't just me.
That's foolish.
But you weren't saying it because it was
within. Yes, I was. I was.
All right, let's just say you said it.
I did say it.
Okay. But even if you disagreed, you kind of understood.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I remember exactly what I said. And what I said was, before the Devers trade, the hope was to make the playoffs as a wild card.
Yeah.
After they got Devers, I was like, they should make the playoffs. They should be a wild. But when people were saying the Dodgers, like, that's
you're feeling good. Yeah.
But that's the stuff we do that's unrealistic.
But
it's crazy thinking at the time when they haven't played any games. Yeah. And then they're not as good as the Dodgers. And we're mad because we had unrealistic expectations in the first place.
But Steiny, you were two games out of behind the Dodgers before you got Devers, and right. We found out LA. Then you come trick off 2 or 3
and the
Saturday
Dodgers,
or Sunday to the Dodgers. You almost gave the Friday game. So I'm just telling you, fan show for fanatic, that all stemmed from everything was good in the hood. You're not going to really catch the Dodgers or your threat. But they were playing sound baseball and winning baseball to where some thought, hey, this thing is so rich and good right now.
Okay, so
who says that that's too far-fetched?
So how many games are they behind the Los Angeles Dodgers right now?
Oh,
they
this is going to be nasty. Give it to me. I'm trying to bring it up. I'm guessing
63 okay. and 46.
Right now, Stoddy, they are 12
10.
Back. No, 9 10, back.
9 back.
Yeah.
9 back.
Yeah.
So are they 9 back because they're not as good as the Dodgers, or are they 9 back because they're underachieving?
Both. But the underachieving, to me, is a staple of the 2025 Giants, and I stand on that. And that's with almost 60 games left, Stoddy. I get what you're saying. They're not the 27 Yankees. But damn it, this is with Devers, Adames.
What about Devers?
No, just
about him?
He's on the list of underachieving since you've gotten here.
Okay.
And their record.
Why? Okay. And all I'm saying is you're blaming everybody but Posey.
Oh, no. I told you when I came in, that was like I'm questioning him. Like I'm – hey, look, man. I don't come in here to put anybody, and I don't have the power to put them on EDD. But I'm telling you, if for what you got me thinking right now is why would you wait to the end of the season to run them? I would look, Donnie, I'm telling you, man, I'm feeling some type of way to see if Buster had to go find his own skipper, who that would be. But I'm just telling you, I am wondering where Buster's at with this. Some are saying rebuild. And we're talking about fans. Some are saying rebuild. I think he's too committed in the books. He doesn't want to go that route. I wonder what he really believes about this team and how upset he is about these last 20 games. Like, I got to believe the Buster Posey, the player, and now the new job, baseball president ops, I got to believe he is dog cussing people out in his mind. So I don't know which, go ahead.
I think Buster Posey's a guy who, like, he doesn't wake up one day and get pissed off. We stink. Like, he saw this coming. They're 2-12 over their last 14.
That's the worst in baseball.
And you know what? We can talk about, being scared. Like, are you telling me it's a rebuild? A rebuild? Everybody's scared. It's like, just go through it. I mean, they have... I don't care what you call it. They have three guys they're going to build around. Four: Chapman, Devers, Adames, and Webb. So,
but if it's not for the immediate, how old are those guys going to be? I'm talking about Chapman when it's time to go.
Well, my point is, I don't care what you call it. Those four guys are going to be here, and you better get guys around them that are good enough. And I got news for you. Even if you get better players around them, they better start
and
being a lot
better.
And that's
all I was going to say.
Well, they're not,
and they're not. Yeah, that. But I guess, Donnie, my whole WHY.
When you think most of the players on the team are underachieving, why wouldn't you then just say, maybe they're not underachieving, maybe this is who they are?
Because I think Adames is better than he's been on the whole, even though he's hot. Devers, for sure, is better than what he's been as a Giant.
What about Bailey?
I think the days of of having a catcher like that, Steinie, for this Giant team that is starving for hitting and punch and power, I think it's over. And I think you could take a step back defensively behind the plate to get something better or more of a threat at the dish. Like, I don't think that's crazy.
When I look at this team,
the Dodgers can carry a guy like Bailey, as you talked about yesterday. I don't think that, I think the Giant thing is over.
How about
that?
Like,
they're not good enough to do to afford that.
Well, see, now you're saying the right things. They're not good enough. It's not that they're underachieving. Like, can I be honest?
Yeah.
Their outfield stinks.
All right. I thought of Jung Hoo Lee, and that's part of the disappointment, though.
That's not underachieving. That's a bad outfield compared to all the other outfields in baseball.
You don't have nothing. I got nothing. Well, I agree.
That, to me, is not underachieving.
So what realistically can you do?
You try to get better at the deadline, or you try to make moves at the deadline that are going to help you.
Or do you give Ramos, do you give Matos right field and give him, I know when he came up you gave him a little look, but Steinie, to give him a real, like, dude, even if you flame out, if he is flaming out,
he's hitting 170.
Yeah, but I got you. He hadn't been married to right. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be in the lineup damn near every day. How close are we to that? Because he's still on the club, yeah. And then we hit that two-run homer to tie it with the Dodgers that Sunday.
Has Matos shown anything that leads you to believe he's an everyday outfielder who's going to hit
I know I gave you the Birdsong thing. But Steinie, I gotta believe I'm at the end.
I'm sorry, he's hitting 164.
Yeah, I'm at the end, Steinie. But I still think if you gave that guy an opportunity,
they have.
Okay, sometimes it takes more. Okay. But I'm just saying, I had Ramos in the same boat as him, and then they called Ramos out, and he took it the bull by the horns, and look what he parlayed it into. I'm not all the way out on Matos, but for this team, Steinie, I would give him right field. And then I try to go get me a nice right fielder to go with my big three moving forward.
Where's Matos playing?
He might not even be on the team if he could be a part of fetching me something that is of substance that I could put in right field.
Okay.
But the end
and
of this year.
I don't want to be a jerk, yeah. But Matos?
Well, a part of something. You could be with a pitcher or something.
Okay, well, then you're really getting value for the pitcher.
Are you telling me Matos is a bum? Because if he is what I think you think he is, he shouldn't even have a jersey.
I'm telling you right now. He's a player who's not good enough to be on a contending team playing as much as he is.
And I saw
and you certainly can't have
a homer to tie the game.
Again, they all have a highlight this year. It's like that's the problem. They have 5-6 guys that come through 1 out of 5 times. And then when they do,
you're talking about the stars too.
Exactly.
But I'm not ready to say Ramos can't be an everyday fielder in the major leagues.
But you realize
he might not be on your team, and I get it. I'm gonna catch some. But Steinie,
do you realize you have 3 young players? You have Ramos, you have Jung Hoo Lee, and you got Matos. Okay, you want to play with those guys? You want to see what they have? Then don't tell me you're a contender.
Mm. Well, they're telling you that with your play.
That's right.
But
you know why?
Yeah.
Baseball has spoken.
Oh, my God.
Let's go to City Boy.
To hear that.
City Boy. Hold on, City.
Our man.
Hold on. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk righteously brewed in the city. What's up, City?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
What's happening? How you doing?
Talk to us, man.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was listening to whoever the media guy was talking about the Devers trade and how he thought it was a bad deal from the get-go and how they were, you know, quick to say yes to the deal because they knew that they were, I don't want to say getting over on the Giants, but you know, in their mind, right, they couldn't have been happier to get to dump Devers, you know. And, you know, what I got to thinking about is you know, as wonderful as Buster Posey is and, you know, a great baseball guy, a great player, you know, he'll probably be in the Hall of Fame and a, you know, 3-time champion. He's never been a GM or a president of baseball ops. He's never you know, dealt with signing players and dealt with agents and all the kind of, you know, minutiae and the stuff that goes with that. I mean, it's like, you know, imagine being the new real estate agent on the block and you're trying to sell houses and jump in with the sharks. You know, it's these guys are sharks, these other GMs, you know, and he's getting eaten up by the shark. And it's a learning curve, right? I mean, like, contract, right? Or the Chapman contract. I mean, we all knew Chapman's a 230 hitter who's going to hit you 25 bombs and play great defense, right? But I mean, you know, he's overpaying for stuff, and I don't want to say he's getting fleeced, but these guys know they're working them, you know. Buster's getting worked a little bit, and I'm not saying these are bad players or terrible signings, but they're kind of looking like it right now anyway. And I mean, he's basically, you know, and part of it is the whole, you know, the guy said, bride, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. The Giants never are able to land the guys they want. And there's a little bit of desperation there, too. And I feel like Buster's reaching a little bit. And, you know, I understand it. I'm not even saying, like, he can't be a great president, because I think he will. He'll learn, right? But this is his learning curve, and it's not going well, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he's probably like us. He can't wait for football season to start, because talking about this for the next month is rough.
Hey, real quick, City Boy, so do you believe that did Buster got fleeced for Devers? And before you answer, I don't. And the baseball world went crazy, and we had an earthquake here thinking we got a bopper. And then real quick, yesterday, Rodgers, he turned Rodgers into three guys, two on the farm. But and Adames is Adames, but fleeced is strong.
Well, okay, when I say fleeced, I mean the Red Sox couldn't have been happier. And it's never really good when the other guy is as happy as they are, you know, right? So it's like the guy said, they were quick. As soon as the Giants said yes, it was a done deal. There was no negotiation. There was no trying to get more out of it. They were like, you want it? You want him? You got him, right? And I mean, you know, right now it's fleeced, right? But like in a couple of years, Devers might settle in and be a good player. I mean, I'm not saying it's a complete fleecing, but when you know, these guys are looking at the dollars too. So I mean, Boston, let's be honest, couldn't have been happier to get off of that money, and that's a big part of it. So I mean, part of it is just that. Yeah, I mean, when you look at the money part, it might be a fleecing. Yes. That being said, that doesn't mean Devers can't be a good player for the Giants going forward, right? I don't think he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. I don't think he'll be. You know, I mean, it's funny. I mean, Fenway Park is kind of a pinball machine, right? I mean, that's a weird little park, and people put up some big offensive numbers there. I know they got some deep parts to the park too, but Oracle Park is just a different park, man.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, you play 81 games on the road. I mean, Devers will be okay. He's going to be fine. But is he going to live up to that contract? I'd say absolutely no chance.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's looking like the same thing with Adames and Chapman, too, frankly. You know, so I think he's got three guys that are overpaid.
Yeah, thanks, City. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, that City came in. He said fleece. You know, that was his word. I disagree there, Stoney, but I'll say this about the Devers trade. It's like the Jimmy Butler trade. I believe they wanted him out because he turned into what they deemed, I got to be careful here, a jackass or an ass, and it got ugly, the relationship. It wasn't that they thought he was a bum. I don't think Boston wanted to move him. Now they're playing better without him, but I think that's just happenstance, Donnie. Like, do you think Boston said, this guy's done?
Boston wanted him out of there for some reason. Mm. And I do agree. I think,
but that's like Jimmy Butler. We know why Miami wanted him out.
Okay, he's not Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's one of five guys. Do me a favor.
Jimmy Butler didn't have a ring. Ralphie does.
That's great. It's baseball.
Yeah.
Like, here's it. But, and boy, you're frustrating me.
How?
Because it's like,
I think you're taking it out on Buster and the Giants,
Here's the problem. You think that just because it's Buster Posey, he's just a guy with no experience running a team, and his name means nothing.
But to the fans, it does.
That doesn't win games.
Yeah. Well, the players do, and managers win games.
Well, then start acknowledging that maybe Posey, so far, the moves he's made have not worked.
I walked in the room and said that to you.
You're on Melvin.
No, I can be on both. I said that to you when I walked in. I said, hello? I said, Stoney, I got to tell you something. And I said, for the first time, I'm starting to get a little irritated with Buster.
Well, you're irritated with everybody, but well, this is who they are, and this is why you
can't. Well, it's not who they are. It's how they're playing. And if you do what you're saying, Stoney, and just say, sweep it under, oh, they're just playing bad baseball, they're not up to par, then there's nothing to see here.
There isn't.
But if we go accountability, how are you looking and playing? You're embarrassing the jersey. So that's where I'm at. And
Ramos
there's got to be
embarrassing
price.
The jersey because it's who he is. He's a bad fielder and he's a bad base runner. He's your all-star though. And so, you know, he's going to play. Like, every player on this team, they don't.
Ramos wasn't that bad with the glove last year. Now he's telling on himself, I can't take that away from him. But can you even admit?
They have no all-around players. None. Their best all-around player, and he said it, Matt Chapman, 235.
Yeah. I ain't going to fight you there.
Patrick in South City. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, Pat. Pat the Bat.
Hey, I wanted to throw something at you guys and see what you think, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows in this league that you need to have three quality starters to get ahead or advance in the playoffs. Like, this is pretty much common knowledge. Now, at the beginning of the season, when they signed Verlander, who was iffy, right, as their third starter, and then do you remember that press conference Buster had, and they asked him, are you going to sign another quality starter? And what did he say? He said, well, you know, we're going to go with these kids and just roll the dice and see what happens. That's where I really think this team took a turn downwards, because Verlander was iffy. He lost, you know, 8 or 9 really, you know, games that were important to the standings. And then the fourth and fifth starters, those positions have been very, very, very bad, as you guys know. So I really think they made a very bad strategic decision at the beginning of the season, and now it's coming to fruition. Mm. I don't think it's about hitting or anything else, because when the pitching's good and everyone has confidence in the pitching staff, then, you know, it just naturally carries on to the hitting. So I don't think hitting's the problem. I really think the ownership made a decision to say, okay, look, we don't want to sign a long-term Barry Zito deal for a third starter, so bring in someone for a year or two and let's see what we can do. And I really think that's where the demise has taken place, because if you look at all the teams that win World Series, including our three World Series, we always had three quality starters. So I just wanted to see what you guys think
but real
about
quick
that.
Before you go, they got two hits against the lowly Pirates. Hitting is a problem for this team. It's their number one problem. And if you had sufficient hitting, it could. And Stoney, if you know baseball, sometimes your hitting can mask what's ailing you on the bump until you get back on your horse. But this hitting it's anemic. I'm gonna quit saying impotent. It's anemic.
And like, this is kind of the way I look at the Warriors.
Can score a run last night.
If you're telling me that they're underachieving, then go get a manager that'll make them achieve and don't make any moves.
Well, you always want to try to get better.
Sure, try to get better.
But you just mentioned the whole outfield with Jung-Hoo Lee, which I'm over, and Yaz. And that's why the only reason I was bringing up Matos is I'm like, let's just see him for a month, you know?
The bottom line is they're young players, Bailey, Jung-Hoo Lee, Ramos, and Matos. As a foursome, they're average at best. It's coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank.
I'm with Jim Mole. The hitting's a joke.
Here for you. Here for good.
Now, back to Stoney and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Let me pass along a piece of news.
Bad news.
This is from San Francisco 49ers camp. 49ers wide receiver Juwan Jennings re-aggravated the same calf that was bothering him during OTAs, and there is no timetable for his return per Kyle Shanahan.
Stoney, wow. I know you're like, here, but I took a victory lap. You gave it to me last year when I talked about McCaffrey, when we got a report like this in camp. But a guy that's looking for a new deal, a guy that is your go-to guy before young Ricky Pearsall, because Debo is on the Commanders and Ayuk is trying to heal, I mean, no timetable to come back. I'll just say this, partner, and Brock Purdy trying to make sweet music with him or work on that and take it to another level, this ain't good.
And
you got something for, give it to me.
My first thought is, I wonder if it's contract related.
Now, this is why I hadn't thought. Well, let me ask you this, Donnie. How old do you think Jennings is?
28.
Oh, you got it. Okay, so.
That was a guess.
Well, he ain't 21, you know? But I'm going to take him at his word that it's really the calf issue. Okay. Because he took back, he didn't want to trade. But, Stoney, I don't like it for, and again, come on, Goo, relax. But it's go time. We got a game tonight. And, okay, how much money would you put in his hand if you're Lynch or Kyle?
Nothing now. Not 1 cent.
Like, the transmission light has come on, Risotto, like, for real. And I just like, man, no timetable for his return. And this is a big question mark, the passing game for the Niners without Debo. And I know you got Kittle and no Ayuk. Like, damn. So you have no problem with me saying it's bad. It ain't good news.
Why would I have a problem with
this? Because normally everything I say, you goo.
Because
McCaffrey, I got that.
I mean,
one.
I think it's ridiculous for you to worry about his injury. You can be disappointed about it. But, like, yeah. I can't help you
tell you
when he's coming back. And I also, you know,
Your football. Job on this show is to get me upset, you know, and you've mastered it, and you don't try it. You can just do it when you open your pie hole.
But I'm so upset.
Yeah, Stoney, I got to say this to you. In a year of redemption and what this offense is going to be, this sucks. Because you told me all offseason the lack of continuity, for whatever reason, guys not being there played a role. I fought that. You know, I'm like, you show up, you ball out. But hopefully he gets better and this is no biggie, but damn. So now Pearsall, you're the number one. I'm not putting Kittle in that mix because he's a tight end. But if I'm Jacob Cowings, do we know what's going on with Robinson, who they got from the Rams? What's the NFL waiting on? Week one to hand down the possible penalty?
I'm not sure.
But the infraction is it warrants a penalty. Like, something's coming.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. The boss asked me a question today, and I want to pass it along to the listener.
This is, wow, some of his best work.
We'll see. We'll see how
I said how I
we'll
feel.
We'll see how it plays. We'll see how it plays.
I'm getting upset. Somebody says you won that round 10-8 and it's bothering me, but go ahead.
Was it that close?
Stoney, stop. You got to have an opinion. You just kill mine.
I have an opinion.
No, yeah.
Baseball has spoken.
No, Stoney, the part of our show is.
You know, you keep thinking a 54-55 team is a 60-win team. You think
they can play better baseball.
Everybody can play better
baseball.
You stole
that from me earlier. Arizona. Yeah, no, I didn't play it like that, dude. Don't steal my stuff.
What did I ostensibly steal?
Help him out, Risotto.
I'm not too entirely sure what's going
on.
Now that hurts.
Yeah.
All right. The boss and the question.
My boss asked me, he said, "Hey, Steiny, if one of your buddies called you from back east and said, give me one word to describe the Bay Area sports scene right now, what's the word you would use?" And the first word I thought of, and of course I changed it, but the first word I thought of is unsettling. But then I thought about it more and more, and I have a different word, and it is sobering. Sobering.
Man, wow.
Because I believe we are at a point right now where we are with the Bay Area teams that people are beginning to sober up and realize that things aren't as good as they used to be, and they're probably not going to be as good as they used to be for a little while.
Mm.
So I would say, you're asking me one word to describe right now the Bay Area sports scene, it would be sobering.
I'm not mad at that.
888-957-9570. Why is it sobering? Well, because I think the Niners are a work in progress now. They've got a lot of young players. The idea that they're going to get back on top seems like a long shot to me, at least this year. The Giants, they are where they are right now. And we thought they were better, but they're not. So that's sobering. And I think the offseason the Warriors have had is like a cold, you know, like a slap in the face.
So, I'm not mad at that.
My word would be sobering. How about you guys in the Bay Area? How you're feeling about all three of your teams right now? Your optimism level, your pessimism level.
What was your first word, too?
Unsettled.
Yeah, both of them were not good, you know? I'll say this to that. And I was like, man. And I'm being a grown-up here, Stani Risotto. Mine is transition. I think the Niners are transitioning from Billy Badass, the bully on the block, into a soft reset or a reset. And you know me, I keep it real all the time. If they bounce back and have the season that I'm hoping they have, I'll be the first one to come in here and say I was wrong, Stani. But I think they are transitioning from building the bully and blowing a couple opportunities, I believe, to be Super Bowl champs, that now those chickens are coming home to roost in regard to just the price, the mental and physical price you have to pay to keep that up. Then I look at the Warriors, and I think about what we talked about yesterday. It's not Steph, Dre, and Jimmy, but it is the birth certificate finally, and that concerns me. That's why the Warriors didn't get a chance to show just how good they were as a collective last year, because Curry's hamstring went out. So I'm looking at the youngsters for the Warriors. I don't like what I see, especially this whole situation with Kuminga, who I'm hoping remains in the Bay. But, Stani, I think that constitutes as transition, because we don't know what we're going to get from the Golden State Warriors, not just on the court, but health-wise. And then that brings us to the Giants and why I'm so hurt for Giant fans and disappointed. If this is truly who they are and offensively what they're going to be in this ballpark, and this is who you got at the helm, Bob Melvin, ho-hum, you know, we'll get him tomorrow. That to me is a transition of we still are stuck in neutral in regard to, yeah, we'll milly around 500 and fall off at the end. And this year, unlike others with Gabe Kapler, it looks like it's over before than it has been in the past. So I would say the state of the Bay Area franchises, to my people in Texas, your people on the East Coast, I would say state of transition.
Yeah, that's fair.
But none of what we said is good.
Well,
you know what I mean?
There's a saying that change is good. Transition can be good. But everybody looks at it like a bad thing. I don't know why.
Like, but they describe death as transition too.
Right. And have you ever heard of everlasting life? Like the transition is a good transition.
Well, when I hear that, then Curry's never going to stop playing. Well, everlasting.
Then that's good news.
Yeah. Risotto, what would you use to describe the state of Bay Area sports?
Inconclusive. I think the JK stuff is unresolved. It's inconclusive. There's pending contracts that apparently are agreed upon until this thing gets done. There's open spots in training camp. There's a trade deadline that's not done yet and still kind of figuring out what they're going to do next. So I would go with inconclusive. Just a lot there if all things go right, but just we don't know. It's just stalled. Everything's kind of stalled with Kuminga and training camp.
Give me the Giant part of it, though, real quick.
It's just...
you sound like Melvin.
I agree with what Steiny said, where this is just who they were. I don't think that they were a 12 games above 500 team, and I don't think they're a 500 team. I think they're somewhere in the middle. The baseball that they played the last week has not been good, but I didn't think that it would be this bad, or it would get to this spot in the season.
Steiny, let me ask you this.
Yeah, me neither.
Which team concerns you most?
What is What do you mean concerned?
That you have more questions about, that you're worried about the most out of these three? If you had the Giants, Warriors, and Niners. Niners for me.
I'm being real, it's the Niners. I'm such a D, but like, it's hard for me to answer because I feel like I know we're like. I mean, is it who's the furthest away from the playoff? Like,
who would you say has the most problems? Yeah, to me, it's the Niners. Yeah, the Niners. And I could be wrong, and hopefully I am, but the Niners are concerning me the most.
That's fair. But I look at the Niners and say they won six games last year. They are out of this window that we thought they were in. They're clearly going to play a lot of first and second year players.
Yeah, Michael Williams.
So am I concerned about that? Well, I mean, I'm concerned they're not going to win the Super Bowl, but on the 49ers, there is only one concern, and that's are their young players good enough?
See, I think there's two. Health is in front of that.
Well, that I can't do anything about.
Yeah, especially with this Juwan Jennings news.
Who am I most concerned about?
Yeah, mine's the Niners. I guess, and that constitutes real quick for me, Stoney, is the most question marks I have.
You know,
is Asala going to be able to rebuild this defense? They got some youngsters, but boy, that's a big ask. That's the situation they're in. We'll see.
I mean,
now Jennings just makes me more scratching my head as to, oh, this is nothing, right? Until it's something.
I would say the team that I'm most concerned about kind of falling off is the Warriors.
Damn.
It's definitely the Warriors. Because the 49ers, they won six games last year. That was who they were. And now they're going a little younger. So I feel like, okay, there's going to be some growing pains here. We're going to find out about, you know, Michael Williams and Collins and those guys.
Don't forget your easy schedule, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to deem that, a lot of people are.
Yeah, that doesn't factor in this particular discussion. And, you know, the Giants, they've been 500 for 4 years, so I'm not really concerned about them falling off to a really bad team. But I do think if the Warriors get some bad luck, they could be in a heap of trouble.
Why? It's just that, wow. I ain't mad at you. And Chris, hey, Goo, don't be like Stoney. Don't be negative. No, Chris, I'm just being real, and I wanted to ask the question. Jim Molay, Stoney, our guy, says this is not even a contest. The Giants are the biggest concern. I'm not, because I keep being told this is a one-off. They'll run it back next year and they'll be okay, and you have a whole offseason of Devers and Adams. I hate that because you got almost 2 months left in the season. But, Stoney, the Warriors, to me, is the one that I think I got the most confidence. I know I have Steph, Dre, and Jimmy.
Well, you don't know you have them. They're on the roster, but you don't know how much they're going to play. That scares me.
But wouldn't that be across the board for every?
No. I'm not worried about, like, if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, are you worried about injury? No, I picked the champion, so I don't know. Are the Cleveland Cavaliers worried about injury? Let's go to Rick. Rick's in Oakland.
Rick.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good, guys. I really do enjoy your show. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
I would say my one word, guys, would be anxious, man. I don't know.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I mean, it's not a serious anxiety, but it's anxious. You know, like you said, Stoney, the Warriors situation, everybody in the West, well, not everybody, but most of the teams have gotten better. We haven't. I've watched the Giants take a free fall. I've been out to about 10 games this year. They went about 500 in all 10 games I went to. And now it seems like they're sort of throwing in the towel.
Mm.
The Niners, that injury that you guys talked about with Jennings, man, that's really kind of bummed me out. So I'm anxious. We've been spoiled in the Bay Area. We usually win. It's not looking good right now, but, you know, I haven't lost faith, but anxious.
That's a great word.
Yeah, I like that one, Rick. Thanks for the call.
But that's still not positive, right? Anxious
is
never
good.
Yeah, right. It can raise your blood pressure, cause diabetes. It's not a good trait to have, anxious.
I mean, the bottom line is the Giants have been, you know, through 14 to 15, they were a World Series contender. The San Francisco 49ers from 19 to 23, 24 were a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
the Warriors up till, you know, 2022, 23 were a championship contender. And I don't think any of them are right now. But to me, that's very understandable because they've all had their, you know, I get that the 49ers haven't won a Super Bowl, but they've gotten there. So there's going to be a natural down period. The one thing I was thinking about with the Giants is, all right, well, you and I have a disagreement. You think they're underachieving, and I think this is who they are. Okay. Let's agree to disagree there.
All right.
So now the question I'm thinking about is, all right, what's the difference? So, Steiny, what if just take Goo's side and they're underachieving? All right. Now what do we do? Okay. Fire Melvin. Fire Melvin. If you think this is who they are, then go get better. Yeah. And I mean, if you fire Melvin, you're still going to try to get better. Gotcha. But the reality of the situation is, to me, the difference between whether they're underachieving and you're right, or whether they're just this kind of team and I'm right, the only difference in terms of what you would do is fire Melvin and try to get better, right? Like,
but you could get better within, because the guy, you're not maximizing what you have. And the essence of sports and the job of any guy in the front office, Donnie, is trying to do both, no matter who you are. So I get that. But, man, imagine just for this instance, since I'm talking, if I were right, what the Giants and where they would be in the standings if that improvement came from within. Because I just don't think it's realistic. You can go try to get one or two, but if you're talking about that list and you're not the only one saying you need five or six guys, well, Steiny, how realistic is it that you're going to go find all that in one off season?
You're not.
Yeah.
That's why it's a rebuild.
Right, but it's also imperative that you really look at what you have. Is it being coached the most proper way to make sure, do we really need six, or do we need 3.5 or maybe even 2.5? But the improvement of me getting the best version of Risotto and Steiny and Goo is going to be better with more better communication and
I get that.
Better play.
I get that. That's what I'm saying. If you think they're underachieving, then fire Melvin. Try to get better like you would if you fired him or not.
All right.
And okay, then you expect to be right back in the playoff mix next year. And that's fair. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, you know, I'm really taking to heart. What's the difference between underachieving and it's who they are? Well, if they're underachieving, then fire Melvin. That's fair. But then, okay, so then you fire Melvin. You expect to get better internally in the manager department. You try to, you know, off season, make some moves. And then you come back. Well, then that better be a playoff team.
Let me ask you this, Donnie. They went 80-82 last year. Would you say the Giants underachieved, or that's just who they are?
I think for the last 3 years they've been who they are. I was just asking. Whether they were 85-77, 77-85, like, I mean, what do you think? I can't remember last year, really.
Steiny, I really believe after Kapler got ran, I thought the Giants would do just what they always do to me and get me excited and thinking they can qualify for the last wild card. Okay, so you're 11 games over this year. Then you out of nowhere, you get the gift that is Devers. So I'm thinking to myself, holy hell, forget the sixth wild card. This team might do some damage. And that's why at this juncture today, as Risotto said, it's surprising. Somewhat expected that they weren't going to keep up the 40-29 play, but to have them fall off and basically drown as fast as they have, that's the disappointing part. So last year, I kind of understood that was who they were, but this year with the gift of Devers, that's why I'm stunned. I really am talking to you stunned about how quick it's happened and then getting swept back-to-back at home, you know, by the lowly Pirates. And for me,
I kind of have more clarity on my anger or disappointment that it was the Pirates, because it started happening in Toronto. And I'm listening to, I won't call anybody out because they're all great, radio, TV, everybody saying, oh, the Giants did make the play. This happened because Toronto's so good, because Toronto's so hot. Same thing with the Mets, same thing with the Dodgers. But the lowly-ass Pirates coming here, and you only muster up two hits, and you're still doing stuff on the base pass that's borderline embarrassing, but hurting your team. Now I think we can have a conversation of like, okay, this thing's kind of out of control. Who's to blame?
Well, the way I look at it is this. The 107-win season was a fluke. It was an outlier.
That's incredible.
Okay, so let's throw that out. What's been now they've had 4 years since then. Yeah. They've been, let's just say this year they finished 500. Okay, let's just say that. So they will have had four straight years of 500. And what we will do then is say, Kapler was a problem and Melvin was a problem.
But
it's been
Kapler,
a 500 team for 4 years.
Yeah. I'll defend Kapler. He never had the benefit. He had never had the benefit of having what Devers was supposed to be.
Say Kapler's a better manager than Melvin.
I don't feel that.
Well,
though.
But
yeah, I don't. But, I would if I did, but I don't.
Like, I didn't like Gabe Kapler either.
But you didn't like his theatrics.
I didn't like anything about him. But I also didn't think, God, you get a manager in here and we're a championship team. Mm. Like, and then if, then we have to maybe say, guess what? The Giants hired, their last two manager hires were terrible. Kapler and Melvin. Well, I don't necessarily believe that. Like, I think there's a disconnect.
Mm. Go ahead.
No.
Can you understand how somebody like myself, I'm not running that Melvin out of town, but the one thing that didn't happen from Buster, we didn't see his guy get picked, who he deemed, you know what, Steiny, Risotto, I want you to run my club. That would be exciting in itself to me just to see who he inherited
why did
Melvin.
He extend him? He didn't have to extend him.
But I guess what I'm saying is the courtship of Melvin had nothing to do with Posey.
Well,
I would like to see who Buster would say, you know what? Oh, I want to see you leave.
Well, then
and
he can.
Teach.
He can do whatever he wants. No,
yeah, he could.
Like,
yeah, but that would take your boy getting ran, Melvin.
Well, if he's not, like, that's the other thing. If Melvin was there, you kept him, then you extended him. It's like, that's Buster Posey's fault. Mm. Like, if he should have just then brought in his own manager.
A lot of times that happens.
Coming up this afternoon at 4:30, the Valkyries take on the Washington Mystics.
Big game.
You can hear the game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pre-game starts at 4 p.m. I see Rich. I see Jonathan. We'll get to you on the other side. That last segment was brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins where? Here.